Hello friends, this is Venkat Iyer again. Chapter number 4 of Performance Management Systems and Rewards. Chapter 4 is titled as Various Approaches to Performance Management and Review. So let's see what it has in store for us. The learning objectives is to understand the key factors involved in the design and robust performance of management systems, to understand the reasons as to why the companies discontinue the traditional bell curve method of evaluation. It is one of the appraisal systems which you should have. Some companies are still doing it. Gain an insight into the way and means in defining the performance and rewards of top management role, for top management role. Understand the various aspects that help companies to use performance management mechanism to nurture right potential. The structure and the contents of the chapter runs as follows. Essential factors in designing a robust performance management program. Discontinuance of the bell curve evaluation by companies in India. Performance and top management compensation and rewards management. And performance management nurturing the right potential in appropriate manner. So let's get on with the first one. Essential factors are the key parameters when designing a performance management system program. The first point is performance management program must be modernized to impact behavior and motivate staff. The key word is modernized. What do you mean by modernized? Modernized means it has to be relevant with the current practices. Modernization is not just about technology. It's not about putting it on the net or having an ERP or something. No. It should be made relevant to the current needs of the organization, the industry, and the global needs. Emphasis on the big picture and measure results. Earlier on, as I mentioned in the earlier chapters, the emphasis was on performance appraisal. Only what the person does in his job, in his department. Today, we see his work with respect to the bigger picture of the company. So his parameters alone is not enough. There are other supporting parameters which we have to also map and calibrate. That's a bigger picture. What is my role as a marketing person in the organization's larger picture? That is one of the factors considered when you're creating a PMS. Third one is make it real-time measure while work is performed. On a daily basis, on a real-time basis, the inputs are updated, and when they are updated, we also get the measures immediately. It's a software program like a HRIS which can be updated on a real-time basis. So on a daily basis, on frequently less periods, you keep getting feedback and you can correct your course, right? The fourth point is place emphasis on strategy and vision. Whatever we are doing in a PMS has to be related with the vision and the strategy of the company. Strategy is all about the long term, about the unknown, about the market, about the future, about the competition, etc. So everything and anything that I'm doing, which is designed by the PMS system, should consider the strategy, the vision, the value statement, the quality statement, etc. of the organization. The next one is commit to requisite training. Training is an important part of PMS. In PMS, training is not a luxury. Training is a necessity. Because in PMS, we want to enhance the performance of the employees from time to time. And so, training is an imperative. It's a need, not a luxury. Right? The last point on the slide is reward results. Recognize, celebrate, and reward outstanding performance. This reward is done immediately, not after 6 months. On a reward ceremony or something. So there and then the reward is given. The recency effect. When I do a good job right now and you give me a reward immediately, it makes me feel good. It makes me feel motivated. It makes me feel employee engaged. Okay? Change of performance appraisal in two organizations has been given in the slide. This happened quite some time back. Wipro, they discontinued the bell curve method in 80% of the workforce. Performance-linked compensation budgets given to managers. Bell curve is a method of appraisal wherein a team which is working in a certain project is appraised for the team performance efficiency. I am not explaining bell curve totally right now, but just a little bit to make understand, the bell curve has a system in which the most efficient ones, the ones who are performers, are on the right side of the bell curve, and the ones who did not perform, the laggards, are on the left side. Now, there has been an approach in many organizations where the laggards were removed, and the whole bell curve is based on percentile performance. So in a bell curve, you have a person who's 97% on right hand side. On the other side, you may have somebody as high as even 95% in terms of performance parameters. But since in this bell curve, this person on the left, although he is intrinsically a good performer, he may be removed from the project. In extreme cases, he is even removed from the company. Now, I'm just giving you one of the practices happening in some companies. It is not totally that devastating, but it was improperly implemented in some organizations. It's basically a very objective tool for assessing people, employees, for appraising, but it was misused. Now, because of this misuse, it became a major issue for many good people. Good people were leaving, and there were people who were performing mediocrely in the center. So companies like Wipro, many of the companies have just said, we don't want the bell curve anymore, so they have stopped it completely. So they are moving into the modern systems, already moved in long back. This, at the time of writing the book, this author has written it this way, but it's happening. The second company is a famous Infosys. Major part of the remuneration is coming as a variable pay. Now, at the top management, obviously, the top management is getting paid very well. They are accountable and responsible for the company's top line, bottom line. So they have to earn the variable pay. The more they work hard to make the profits happen higher and higher, the variable pay will keep on increasing. So what this company has done is, they have kept the fixed pay XYZ, whatever amount, which is pretty decent, more than decent, but the variable pay is more. So people have to work hard and get it done. Right? Just two cases are given here. The focus of the performance management of HR on evolving functional strategies to assess major corporate plans, creating optimum work environment and employee participation in organization planning. So what are they supposed to do? The HR is supposed to be evolving functional strategies to assess major corporate plans. HR is to first understand the processes of other verticals in detail, which is not the case earlier. Today, the HR sitting in the HR department has to be more or less like a subject expertise, process expertise about other departments which are there who are using their services. So they actually go through an orientation to know how the nitty-gritty of a marketing department is, how the nitty-gritty of an operation department is, so that when they do their work of PMS and other related HR work, they know the larger picture. We are not just hiring human resources. We are hiring human resources for different functions in different departments, and that, for me, I can't see it like a theory from outside. I have to go and actually be there. So in some cases, in some organizations, the HR actually goes through an orientation of being in the department for a week or 10 days or whatever to get the feel and the hang of how they think and operate. It's important. Then when they come back and they start designing systems or implementing certain systems, which is HR related, they see the bigger picture and the implementation becomes much more effective. They don't act like only service providers or a support department, but they'll be more like a expert doing their job, looking at the larger picture. Right? Collaborative environment for employee participation, decision making. Gone are the days when one department, one group of people used to make decision. It's a collaborative approach. A department, everybody will be involved. Brainstorming will take place, the best ideas will be taken, and we could be having a good decision being implemented. Right? Joint goal setting, continuous progress review, frequent communication and feedback. This has already been told in the earlier slides. Coaching, improved performance, implementation of employee development programs and rewarding achievements. Coaching, training development, mentoring is a common thing whenever you have a PMS. Because time and again, people need inputs. More than tangible inputs, they need intangible inputs on behavioral issues, relationship issues. The higher you go in the organization, these issues become very intricate to handle. And in fact, coaches and mentors are more required at the topper, at the upper level, because of the way work becomes complex. At the middle and top management level, people stop talking about their issues to others. They become more inner contained, these issues. So they need a mentor or a coach to actually bring it out and make them feel, make them, give them a guidance about how to go about doing it. Right? Taking it further, designing reward systems for effective performance management, nurturing the right potential, designing reward system for effective compensation and reward system, pervasive evaluation methods use. Now, we have to ensure that the reward system is not only one's work related, but an overall set of factors from where this person is operating. His behavior, his attitude, his value system, his performance also included in terms of his own department's performance, what he does, but it's overall, right? Career development, support and guidance. We are talking about career now. The person is given a scope to grow in the organization, make a career for himself or herself, and the requisite guidance is given for the development. Exit interview for understanding the causes of employee discontentment and finding causes of resignation. An open approach wherein the employee who is leaving is given a fair hearing in an exit interview where he or she will openly explain why they are leaving, scope for improvement, etc., etc., etc. In addition to that, in some companies, they have the prodigal policy. That means the person who leaves is given an open door wherein they say that whenever you want to come back, join us back. Two major finance companies, one company finance, sorry, the other one IT company where I'm doing training, they are actually having this policy. And I know people who left, they went to another company hoping that the grass is green there, and they came back, they were taken back within a week or month or so. So that is another part of, it's not given in the slide, the prodigal policy, the person coming back home, right? Employee motivation through culture. The culture has to be, like I told you in the earlier slides, culture has to be very supportive. They must walk their talk. They must nurture the values which they profess they are following. So they should be seen as role models, in short. Harmonious exchange, engagement of HR and employees for excellent performance is another important thing. Conducting performance appraisal effectively. Appraisals are impartial in nature, underline the word impartial, and there is a criterion set to analyze and evaluate an employee to determine their acceptability, worth and merit. So, usually performance appraisals, people always are too afraid of a PA. And they always feel that a PA is subjective. And in every PA, however objectively you may do it, every person wants to be rewarded more than what is rewarded. At the same time, the performance appraisal system has been misused by certain people who do performance appraisal, by getting subjective, by having bias, etc., etc., etc. There are lots of stories on that, right? Now, here what we are saying is appraisals are impartial in nature, and there is a criteria to set to analyze and evaluate an employee to determine their acceptability, worth and merit. So this system, which happens in a PMS, is reducing the subjective element as minimum as possible. Some of you must have heard about 360 degree appraisal, right? In that system, if we make it as neutral as possible, the personal biases are reduced. So I get appraised by my senior, my subordinate, my peer, my suppliers, etc. So overall, when people talk about me, they give a feedback about me, it will be more or less correct about who I am and what I have done for that particular task, right? Appraisals are important conversations, underline the word important conversations, which help align employees' outputs, performance and personal development with the business strategy. Appraisals are nothing but feedback. You promised something this year, last year, you performed something, now we are having a meaningful conversation between you and me, and we want to know what went right, what went wrong, where do you need support, where is it, where are the places where you think you've done well, you can do on your own, etc., etc. It's basically taking stock of what has happened or not happened. But that becomes a very stressful exercise, because unfortunately, performance appraisal is directly connected with reward. It's directly connected with increments and other things. In most cases, it is not to be connected, but they do it. An annual increment, for your information, those of you in HR, you already know it, is an entitlement. An annual increment is an entitlement. Whereas the other types of incentives you want to give, rewards and all, they may be connected with the other aspects of the employee. The annual increment is given every year for the purpose of the cost of living is going up. So to factor that, organizations have to give that. Whether the employee is seen as efficient or inefficient, that is an integral part of every organization which is worthy. Some don't do it. I have nothing to say on that. It's the way they are. Appraisal should be in both ways. Employee should have monetary gains as well as he should be appreciated with higher rewards. Okay. Conducting performance appraisal, key steps, preparation will show employees that their boss cares about them and is invested in them, both as a worker and as a person. Prepare properly, put all your data properly, qualitative and quantitative data, take stock of it, draw a timeline, keep everything ready, the appraiser as well as the person who's getting appraised, come prepared, right? Topics, preparing exactly what to discuss with each employee is a key to ensuring all bases are covered. So put down all the key points to be covered in terms of topics. Atmosphere and delivery, arguably the most important element of an employee appraisal is ensuring that it is undertaken in correct atmosphere. What is the correct atmosphere? Conducive, where the person is relaxed, he doesn't feel threatened, and he has to express himself true to what he has done and what he feels. Right? Post-appraisal, after the appraisal, counseling to the employee may be required. It is extremely crucial that the organization completes the post-appraisal counseling to the employees. I would not call it counseling. Counseling is very extreme. A feedback to be given, scope for improvement and stuff like that. Counseling will become professional. Counseling is required only when the person has got a major issue. Okay? The counseling model for the post-appraisal season, any counseling initiative goes beyond merely telling a person to do something and not to do something. It's not about telling him to do this or that. Counseling has got multiple nuances, right? Performance counseling, focusing totally on the performance lapses and the way to overcome. So I could be counseling, focusing on only performance. That is called as performance counseling. I could be counseling on the problem. There is a certain problem he's facing. Either he's not a team player or he's not reporting properly. He doesn't give written reports or whatever. So I could be focusing on that and counseling him on that. Individual growth counseling. You need to grow. You are talented. You have all the skills, but you are resisting growth and your behavior is one which is anti-growth. So I could counsel him on learning to put certain behavior into himself and promote his individual growth. Building blocks performance counseling process, create a conducive environment. The first step is to build a climate of trust and confidence. Underline these two words, trust and confidence, so that an open discussion can be pursued. How do we build up a performance? These are the steps. Create a conducive environment. Prepare for the session. The counselor must not only know about the professional performance of the employee, but also his background, education, training, experience, etc. An overall picture. Identify the problem through exploration. Explore by asking questions. Asking questions in a certain manner in which he doesn't feel threatened or cornered. The intent of the counseling is to elicit intrinsic realization rather than simply tell the person to improve. Action planning. Create concrete takeaways by outlining specific plans of action for the employee's development. You create or make him create. What do you want to do? What is the action plan? On a timeline, put down the action plan properly and guide him into that. Help him in doing it, right? Follow up. It's important to follow up the action plan at a pace which is comfortable to both counselor and counselee. On a certain appointed day of the week or the month, sit again, follow up how much of the progress has happened. Do you need any help from me, etc., etc. Right? The digital approach to performance measurement and management. PMS is more data-driven. It's more technology-driven, flexible, continuous, development-oriented. A clear shift on how talent professionals expert is next gen technologies to automate their tasks. A performance management system is technology driven, and we are dealing with huge amount of data, tangible and intangible, even data about the employees' habits, behaviors, etc. So all that is a humongous amount of information, and that information is important. It should be dealt with properly with a proper combination of data required for a particular purpose. Manager's checklist for a post-appraisal review prior to discussion. Prior to the review discussion, manager should keep the following key steps. Schedule a meeting and dedicate slot for the discussion. Review the employee information, personal and professional details. Review and revise the discussion related to the organization direction. Communicate the details of the meeting properly. Very clear. Just a step-by-step easy approach. I don't need to explain this. During the review discussion, manager should follow the following steps. Create a favorable atmosphere, invite opinions, discuss details step by step, discuss development and growth. Again, a step by step approach. Negotiate, but draw the line too. There is something which the employee is asking for, which you can't give totally. You want something more from the employees, which he doesn't want to give. So you need to negotiate. As you deep dive into the goals and agree upon the way ahead, aim to raise the bar and lay out expectations clearly by defining or fine-tuning the way ahead. Prepare to receive feedback from the employee. Thank the employee. This is a very courteous exercise. Okay. After the review discussion, manager should go through the following steps. Chart out the discussed plan of action to improve performance. Document the discussion details and outcomes in the performance review system so that continuity remains. Relook at and modify the job description for the role in conjunction with HR. Reassess and assign roles, resources required if feasible. Sign off the final review form with the employee and route to the higher authorities for comments and sign off. These are nothing but the three different steps I talked about are basic steps to follow. There's nothing very rocket science about it. Systematic approach wherein you do it in a very courteous way, unthreatening way. Right? So this is after the review discussion. Now we come to the end of this. Before ending, I would like to say that a performance management system, when you're designing it, although I have spoken quite a few things on this slide, it's important for you to customize it your way. All you need is the following things. You must be a person of integrity, walk your talk. You must be very open. You must really care for your employees. Now, when you have these things, and you must have your vision and goal very clear. If these are all clear, put it down in a proper format, and you have to know what to design and how to go about doing it. Do it with a sense of honesty, integrity, and the PMS will work. These are all basic guidelines. They are not the thing that you have to always follow. Every company can use its own PMS system, design it in such a way that everything works. A few things have to be importantly done, and out of the few things, the most important is respect the human, respect the employee for whatever he is, ultimately is contributing to your organization. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. All the best.